The scripture reading this evening is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, and we will read the whole chapter. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3. Listen to God's holy, living word. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, we pray this evening that you would open our eyes and minds to see wonderful things from your word. In Christ's name we pray. Well, the title of the sermon this evening is Christ's Baptism. It's not true Christian hospitality, as it's written on your bulletin. It's Christ's Baptism. And as we read this chapter in Matthew 3, it's clear it's on the baptism of Christ. And this event, the baptism of Christ, is one of the events that you can find in the four Gospels. And not all the events in Jesus' life were recorded in the four Gospels, right? Many events are not even recorded at all. And the four writers of the Gospels, they chose different things to mention in the way they brought the Gospel to us. For instance, you read about the Samaritan woman only in the Gospel of John. You read about the Magi's only in the Gospel of Matthew. You read about this parable of the Pharisee and the publican only in the Gospel of Luke. So the Gospel did not bring all the events of Christ's life for us to see them in the Gospels. And they even did not mention the same events. However, there were certain events, the four of them were keen to put in their Gospels. There's a certain structure in the Gospels that you can You can see it in every one of them. There's a kind of a pattern. Some differences, some changes of in terms of the stories being told, but there's a certain pattern. Christ came, he was baptized, he served, he did great things, he did miracles, he taught, he was opposed, he was crucified, he was raised from the dead, and he was seated on the right hand of God Almighty. This is the main elements of the message of the gospel. But interestingly, one of them, one of these essential elements of the gospel is this event, Christ's baptism. It's an essential part of the message of the gospel. And today we'll try to understand why this event was important. Why the four gospels were keen to mention Christ's baptism. Well, in the Gospel of Matthew, we read about John the Baptist, the one who baptized Jesus. And we see this character appearing suddenly after 30 years, after the story of the birth of Christ. So the Gospel of Matthew, after telling about how Christ was born, we come to the birth of Christ, to John the Baptist baptizing in the Jordan River. And we don't know much from the Gospel of Matthew about John the Baptist or how he was born. We know this story of his birth in the Gospel of Luke. But here, we don't have any background. Where did this John came from? But we know that after 4 centuries of no prophecy in Israel, no prophet from the Old Testament, we find a prophet appearing to speak to the people that have been waiting and waiting for a word from God, from a prophet. They have been under oppression from their enemies. The Roman Empire has been oppressing them at this time. Before that, the Greek were oppressing them. And they are God's people, and they don't hear any word from God. And here came John the Baptist to baptize and to do his work as a prophet and as someone who's preparing the way for Christ. But what was the nature of his ministry? What was he doing? Was he baptizing the same baptism that you see in the church today? Well, no, it was not the same baptism. Simply, when you see someone being baptized here in the church, he's being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. John was not doing that. The disciples of John in the Gospel, in the book of Acts, when Paul met them, he asked them, "Do you know the Holy Spirit?" They said, "We have never heard of him." And they were the disciples of John the Baptist. So it was not a baptism in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the light of the death and the resurrection of Christ. It was different baptism. But what then was this baptism? Well, Matthew tells us, it's a baptism of repentance. It's baptism of repentance. So let's think first, what is the meaning of repentance? What John was doing these days? Repentance is not just changing your mind in terms of things. It's a change of the whole life. Your whole disposition is changed. Your thoughts, your emotions, your deeds, your actions. It's a change of life, a whole life. And it comes with a tone of grief, someone who is sad because of his or her sins. And because of this sadness, they are returning to the Lord. So it's stopping doing something, ceasing in living in a certain way of life, but returning to the Lord. Because some people would just repent or just feel sorry for what they have done, but they would harm themselves. Like Judas. Judas felt sorry for what he has done, and he hanged himself. He did not return to the Lord. This is not the repentance that the scripture is talking about, and this is not the repentance that John was talking about. He wants people to return to God. But then he's talking to some religious leaders who tried to make some kind of external repentance. They wanted to look good in the eyes of the people. So they went to be baptized by him. But John knew that their lives were not according to God's word. They did not return to the Lord with their whole being. See what he says to them in verse 7 and 8. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he was not happy. And he warned them. He said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He saw that their lives doesn't reflect repentance. They claim that they are coming to repent, but they are not repenting. And John was serving or was doing this baptism for repentance. But why did John use this idea of baptism to represent repentance? Where did he get this from? Well, the Old Testament is full of references to cleansing by water. If you read the book of Leviticus, a lot of washing, a lot of water being used for people to be cleansed. For instance, you read about those who would suffer from leprosy. In order to be restored again to God's people, they have to be washed. This is one of the things that they have to do. So there are a lot of baptism in the Old Testament. And then during this time where John was baptizing, there was a kind of a religious act that had been set for the Gentiles who would love to join the Jewish people. So if you are a Gentile, as we all are here, as far as I know, if you'd like to join God's people, if you'd like to join the people of Yahweh, you would do three things. You would get circumcised, you would repent from your sins, and you would be baptized. You would get washed with water. So if a Gentile would like to join God's people, the Jews, he has to be cleansed by water to be baptized. But here, the surprise, John is not baptizing Gentiles to join God's people. He is baptizing the Jews. He is calling the Jews themselves to be baptized, which as if he is telling them, you are unclean. You need to be washed. And the whole situation, the place that he was doing this, it's a place that the Jews would understand, would realize. It's at the Jordan River. It's at the place where Elijah was taken to the heavens through this chariot of fire. And Elijah's ministry was to call Israel for repentance. And even the Old Testament prophesied that this man is coming in the spirit and power of Elijah. So the whole scene is a scene of repentance. He's calling Israel, you need to repent. He's preparing the way for the king. The king is coming and you need to repent. You need to submit to the king. This is the whole situation. And it's understood the Jews are not living a godly life. God sent them a prophet preparing the way for the king who is coming. Christ is coming. He's the king. He's the son of David. He's the son of Abraham. But suddenly, we see a surprise. If you read this text up to verse 12, it's totally understood. It makes perfect sense. They are wicked. They are sinners. John is calling them for repentance. The king is coming. But now, Jesus himself is going to be baptized in this baptism. The baptism of repentance. How would such a person come to John to be baptized with this kind of baptism? The baptism of repentance. So when he came, what did John do? No, you can't. You can't get baptized here. You should baptize me. If we compare ourselves, well, I'm a sinner. You're not. We don't know how John knew this. We know that they were kind of cousins. He knew him. It seems that he knew that Jesus was righteous, was godly. He testified that you are without sin. You do not need to repent. Earlier, John had difficulty baptizing the Pharisees and the Sadducees because they were not worthy of his baptism. But when Jesus came, For John, his baptism was not worthy of Jesus. You should not come to be baptized from me. When we read about the baptism of Christ today, sometimes we don't see anything surprising in it. But it should surprise us. Why would such a person to come to be baptized by John? John was surprised. And it should surprise us that Christ is going to be baptized. In order to understand this surprise, in order to understand why Christ was baptized, we need to understand how the Old Testament would understand this baptism. And why do I say the Old Testament? Because John was a prophet from the Old Testament. And I will not try to guess what does the Old Testament say about baptism. Well, I have two people who are writers in the New Testament. They are Jews. And they talked about baptism in the Old Testament clearly. And they would explain, give us an idea. What is baptism? What did this baptism mean? And why John used this baptism? The first one that I will refer to will be Paul. A true Jew. He was a Pharisee. He understands the Old Testament well. And he spoke about an event in the Old Testament and he called it baptism. If you turn with me in 1 Corinthians 10, this is what Paul is saying about baptism. This is how he describes baptism in the Old Testament. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. And listen to this. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So this is what Paul is saying. When the people were coming out of Egypt in the Exodus and went through the Red Sea, he called this event baptism. And not only Paul, the Apostle Peter, a true Jewish person. In 1 Peter 3, this is what he teaches, what he says in verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the remover of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And here Peter is calling what happened in the ark of Noah going through the flood, baptism. So we have two events, going out of Egypt, passing through the Red Sea, baptism. Going to the ark through the waters of the flood, baptism. What is common in these two incidents? Well, if you think of these two stories, they were judgment. The water was a tool of judgment. In the Red Sea, God judged the Egyptians through the water. The water came over Pharaoh and his army, and they died through the water. And at the same time, if you think of the ark, of the flood, what was the judgment? The water. In both these events, the water was God's tool of judgment. And in both events, they were not just judgments on the enemies of God. Through these events, there was salvation for God's people. Passing through the Red Sea, the Israelites, they were saved from Egypt. And going to the ark through the water was salvation for Noah and his family. So these events are representing God's judgment and God's salvation. I know when we think of baptism, when we think of water, maybe the idea of judgment doesn't come to our mind. But this is not the case during the time of John. When John used the water to baptize people for repentance, He's basically saying this. Well, everyone who goes to the water, everyone comes to be baptized. He is confessing that he's a sinner or she's a sinner, and he deserves God's judgment. Going to the water, as someone is saying, I deserve the wrath of God on my sin. And surprisingly, Jesus is going to this place to be baptized by water. What is Jesus doing? Well, he is giving us a glimpse, a small glimpse of the true judgment that he is going to go through. As the people in the Old Testament were judged through the water, the Egyptians or the wicked people during the time of Noah, now Christ is coming to the water, coming to ask John, baptize me. And then John starts to stop him. No, you should not be baptized. You are sinless. And John was right. John was not wrong. Christ did not deserve to be baptized. But see what Christ said. He said, well, we have to fulfill all righteousness. Allow now that I may do this. What was Jesus doing? He was acting as the suffering servant, the one who is listening to God's command that he should be judged for the sake of his people. He was fulfilling what Isaiah said and prophesied hundreds of years ago. In the suffering servant, we have many songs in the book of Isaiah talking about the suffering servant. In Isaiah 42, for instance, this is what it says. Behold my servant, whom I behold, my elect, in whom my soul delights. Does this remind you of anything that we read in the Gospel of Matthew? When Christ came out of the water, this is the same words that the Lord said. This is my beloved Son, in whom my soul delights. But see then what Isaiah is saying. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to Gentiles. He has a certain role that he will do. God assigned him a certain mission to do. And then Isaiah goes further in Isaiah 53 to tell us more about this mission, this work that the suffering servant will do. In verse 11 of Isaiah 53, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. He is the one who is going to bear the iniquities of his people. And as he is the one who is bearing the iniquities, what's going to happen to him? He will go through the water of judgment. So when Christ came to this scene, to John the Baptist, to be baptized, if you were standing on this day there, seeing the people coming to John, you'll say, yes, these people are confessing that they're sinners, and they're coming to be baptized, confessing their sins. And then you see this person coming. John knew him. He is sinless. And he's doing exactly like them. This is what Isaiah was saying. He was numbered with transgressors. As Jesus was coming, approaching to this water, he was saying, I am coming to represent my people. Come, I'm coming to go through their own judgment. I'm going to bear God's wrath for them. He's coming to unite himself with his people and giving us a glimpse of what he's going to do one day. Later on in the Gospels, for instance, in the Gospel of Mark, Christ called his death baptism. Open with me. This is a very important text in the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 10. John and his brother James, they came to Christ with a bad request, with a proud, I would say, obnoxious request. They wanted to sit one of them on his right hand and one on the left hand. They were so proud. They wanted to be to put themselves above all the other disciples. And so they came in verse 35 and said, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you ask. And see, listen to this question. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, or that I am going to be baptized with?" He was referring to his death. And he called his death baptism. Usually when we think of baptism, even when a child is baptized, we rejoice, we celebrate. And it's truly a day of celebration. But baptism was a sign of someone who's getting united to Christ in his death and resurrection. Judgment was through water. God judged his people through water. And the one to be baptized is going through the judgment. And Christ is talking about a baptism that he's going through. Not a baptism of water. Eventually, to be a baptism with his own blood, he will die for sinners like us. But how does this event is related to us as God's people? Well, let's go back to these pictures of Noah and the ark, and of going to through the Red Sea of God's people. Think what happened to them. How did God save his people during these events? Not simply, God did not take the Israelites out of Egypt and let them pass away from the water and brought the Egyptians through the water. No. He saved his people by providing a way through the water. They escaped judgment by going through judgment. And think of Noah. What happened with Noah? How he was saved? Well, he was saved by going into the ark, and the water came on the ark. So Noah did not escape the judgment as if he did not go through it. He went through it without being touched by it. And this is exactly what it means for someone to be in Christ. How are we going to be saved from God's wrath? How can we sing, or can we praise God and say, "There is no condemnation now for all those who are in Jesus Christ"? Because all those who are in Christ, they have gone through the judgment of God in Christ. The judgment of God did not touch them, but it came on the one who represented them, the one they are united to, Jesus Christ. And the question is today, are you in Christ or not? Because there is no way to escape judgment. God's judgment is coming. John told, this is what John said to the Sadducees and Pharisees. How can you think that you will escape from the wrath to come? There's no way out of it. During the time of Noah, there was no way of escape of God's judgment. Only the ark. Only those who go to the ark will be spared from God's judgment. Let's go back to Matthew 3 and see what John told the Jewish leaders and the Jewish people at that time in verse 9. "Do not think to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children of Abraham from these stones." He's telling them, do not rely on your identity, that you are being born from Abraham's seed. In today's expressions, do not rely on your family. Do not rely that you are coming to the church every Sunday, which is great. The question is, are you in the ark or not? Are you in Christ or not? Your identity will not save you on that day. Only the one who bore our guilt, our iniquities in his flesh on that tree can save us. There is no other way. There is no other way. Christ in this scene was representing us. And what happened on that day when Christ went to this baptism, when he went to the water to be baptized and he rose again from the water, came out of the water? Remember what happened on this day? Well, God's Spirit came upon him like a dove. There are many things to be said on this, but one of the things that is related to our sermon today is that this represents the new creation. You remember what happened with Noah? What happened with Noah after coming out of the ark? The sign of the new creation was that a dove would go out and bring this olive tree or piece of tree, telling that there is peace. Reconciliation took place. The new creation came through. And when Christ came, when he went to baptism and came out of it, the Spirit came as a dove, representing that through the work of this God-man, God is bringing the new creation. And all those who are in Christ, they are not just spared from God's judgment, they joined him to the new creation. They became part of it. So they don't live their life as they used to be. You can't say, well, I'm in Christ, he bore my judgment, he bore my iniquities, now I live in any way I want. It doesn't work this way. Because Christ did not only bore someone's judgment that is disconnected from him, you are only spared from God's judgment and condemnation if you are in Christ. And to be in Christ means not only being spared from judgment, but also being a new creation. And this is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. And those who are new creation, the life is a life of repentance. Not saying that we will do something to avoid God's judgment, but out of gratitude of what this Savior has done for me, being united with him, being sanctified by his blood, I live life of righteousness, life of repentance. Brothers and sisters, as it was in the time of Noah, judgment is coming. In the time of Noah, people did not believe it. They mocked him. They made fun of him. Maybe they get bored of what he's saying. But the judgment is coming. And only those who were in the ark, only those who believed, were saved from the judgment. And it is true today. God's wrath is coming. The day is coming. And only those who are in Christ will be spared. Why? Because he is the one who bore their iniquities and was condemned for them. So to say there is no condemnation for those now who are in Jesus Christ, we are unable to say this because God condemned our sins in his flesh. Amen. Lord, we glorify your name for this great Savior. It is beyond our thoughts, our minds, what you have done for us, O Lord. That you came and you were numbered with transgressors. You walked through our path, bore our guilt, our iniquities, and went to this place where every one of us deserved to be forever. We thank you, O Lord, because the tribe is broken and we were spared. We can sing the songs of those who are redeemed, that the Lord of hosts is with us. He spared us. He saved us. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, our representative, our head, the one in whose name we come, the one who is working in our lives to change us, to conform us, to be in his own image. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest, because of the safety and the assurance that we have in him and in his work. In the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen.